Every life begins with a birth. It's so naturally we're born. Every life begins with a birth. There are a lot of folks here this morning, but every one of you were born. Your life began when you were born. It's so spiritually we're born again. Our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot begin spiritual life. Birth is the way that we enter physical life, and birth is the way that we enter into the kingdom of God. Every life begins with a birth. Natural life begins with a birth, we're born. Spiritual life begins with a birth, we're born again. Are you with me? Now, there are many ways in which these two births are similar. There are many ways in which they're opposite. And I think I can help you this morning with the question, what is it to be born of God, by pointing out how these two births are similar and how they are opposite. Now, remembering this is the introduction and this is the foundation, every life begins with a birth. Natural life begins with a birth. We're born. We live because we're born. You'll never live on this earth unless you're born. And you'll never live in the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, there are five ways in which these two births are similar, in which they're alike. If you want to jot this down, please do so. I want you to study it. You know, I said to a congregation last week, if men took the Bible and went home, these people in Berea, after hearing the Apostle Paul, and searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was so, how much more you ought to take a Bible and go home and search the Scriptures and see if what this fellow's saying is so. I want you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Because as Paul said to the Ephesian elders, he said, I commend you to the Word of God that is able to build you up and establish you and sustain you. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, not the words of men, but the Word of God. You don't argue people into the kingdom of God. They're born into the kingdom of God. The seed is the Word of God. Now, here are the ways in which these births are similar. Number one, both of them are great mysteries. Both of them are great mysteries. Now, I don't want to try and play the part of a physician. I know nothing about medicine. I know nothing about what they call the science of medicine. But I'm awed and I'm amazed at the conception and birth of a child. And I get more amazed the older I get at this mystery of birth. From an, as old Brother Muse used to say, infinitesimal seed, the tiniest microscopic beginning. Here's a 6 foot, 210 pound man. It's the most amazing thing. Here, from just the barest seed, there is a human being with a tremendous mind and eyes and ears and a voice to speak and a body. And it's just fantastic. And David was amazed. Turn to Psalm 139 and listen to what David says. It's a mystery. I can't explain how that a seed is planted in a mother's womb and develops and matures over a period of several months and then comes forth the tiniest little helpless, dependent, 6 or 7 pound baby. And then as the years go by, and food and growth, and here stands a full-grown man. David says in verse 13 of Psalm 139, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous
are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. It's amazing. It's a mystery. No man can explain it. And I'm telling you this, but greater is the mystery of the new birth. How that where there's no life, God gives life. Where there's no spiritual interest, suddenly there becomes an interest in the gospel, an interest in Christ. Where there's no grieving and conviction and remorse over sin, suddenly the person becomes sin conscious and conscious of the holiness of God and the existence of God and the power and grace of God. And suddenly there's a new man, there's a new creature, there's a new life. It can't be explained. Now, you can explain a man getting religion to better himself, either here or in the future. You can explain a man joining a church in order to have the acceptance of the community or people in his home or perhaps trying to attain a life beyond the grave. But for a man to become a new person in spirit, in attitude, in love, in direction, for him to think differently and speak differently and walk differently and conduct himself differently, for him to be like Christ. Now that's a mystery. It's a mystery. Something that can't be explained. Someone not devoted to a cause but to Christ. Someone devoted not to a way of life but to a person. Totally new, totally different. It's unexplainable. It's mysterious. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound, but you can't tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Even so are they that are born of God. It's a mystery. And then secondly, these two births are alike, similar, in that in both births, a life is created, a new life is created. Now, when the mother goes into the delivery room, and the doctor's waiting and the nurses, and that baby's born. Right then, there's a cry lifted to heaven or to somewhere. And a new person, a new mortal, inhabits this earth. One who's never been here before. Brand new, a new life, a new person, a new body. A new mortal comes into this world to live and to breathe and to walk and to talk and to take his part and then to die. But in that delivery room, when you hear that first sound, a new person, he'd never lived before. He'd never breathed before. He's never spoken, never existed. And there he is. And I say this, so in the new birth. The new birth, you see, is not a decision, it's a life born. It's not a person who already existed, changes his way of living. It's a new life. That's what Scripture says. It's a new life. So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature. Now, he's got an old man that lived before, but there's a new man who never lived. There's an old life, a life of sin and lust and passions and lies and evil. But there's a new life, a new man, a new person, a new creature who never lived before, who never breathed before, who never spoke before, who never heard before, who never saw before, who never thought before. There's a new life. Brand new. Brand new. When God gives life, there's a new citizen in the kingdom of God. When that baby's born in the delivery room, there's a new citizen in the United States. He's never been on the road, never been heard of, spoken of, thought of. But when that new person's born into the kingdom of God, he's brand new, brand new. Child of God, a living person who inhabits the family of God. Spiritual life, like natural life, is a new life. All right, thirdly, the third way in which these two births are like. In both births, now listen to me, this is important.
They're similar in that in their mystery. Both of them are mystery. Both of them are brand new life created, brought forth, never existed before. And thirdly, there is a like, L-I-K-E, like life communicated. Now, every child has a father. I hear the most silly, asinine statements. I hear fellows say, well, this child is an illegitimate child or a bastard. They say, what do you mean? Said he hadn't got a father. I beg your pardon. Everybody's got a father. That's stupid, isn't it? He's got a father. He's got a father and a mother. And I don't know why that in our society that a child is brought to suffer because of what they call illegitimacy. I don't understand this sort of attitude, this sort of spirit. I know your child's born into a home, bless its heart. The child comes, he just is, he's the same kind of child your child is. Because his father may be a drunk, or his father may be a gambler, or his father may be an indifferent, careless person. That doesn't mean he hadn't got a father, see. So he's got a father and a mother. And they're different situations, and we need to show more compassion to that child than we do the one that's got a happy home. We need to be kind to that child from a divided home or a broken home or what they call illegitimacy or anything. He needs our concern and compassion more than this child does who's got everything going for him. And our hearts need to reach out and embrace and love and understand. This child was conceived before marriage. That doesn't have any effect on that child. That child just as lovable and precious as any child you have in your home and needs your kind affection and tender heart. But in every birth, there's a father. Even the flowers of the field come from a seed. We're not self-created. We don't come from our own loins. We come from a father. Turn to Genesis 1:24. Now here's what I'm saying. Genesis 1:24. Now here, in other words, when a father begets a son, that son's going to be like him. That is flesh. The only kind of son I can beget is a son like me, a fleshly son. And a bear or a monkey or a horse or a giraffe or a flower or oak tree. Oak trees come from oak trees. And it says in Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Cattle, creeping things, beasts of the field, after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. And the cattle after their kind. And everything creepeth upon the earth after his kind. That does away with this evolution. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now then, well, how do you compare that to the new birth? So in the new birth, so in regeneration, the Father, when we're born of God, a living Father begets a living child. A spiritual Father begets a spiritual child. You see what I'm saying? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, when a child comes from my loins, that child's going to be flesh. He's going to be a son of Adam. He's going to be a fallen son of Adam. And when one is born of God, he receives spiritual life, eternal life, divine life, the life of God. Now, fourthly, in both births, there's a character communicated. There's a character, not only a like life. In other words, flesh is flesh, and flesh gives birth to flesh. God is a spirit, and God gives birth to spiritual children. Man is a dying man. He brings forth a dying son. I bring forth a son who's subject to disease and subject to infirmities and subject to sin. God brings forth children that have no sin.
a character's communicated. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans the 5th chapter. And this is what Romans the 5th chapter is saying all the way. In verse 12, by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. Down here in verse 17, by one man's offense, death reigned. Verse 18, by the offense of one, judgment came. Verse 19, by one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. David said, in sin, my mother conceived me. David didn't mean by that that the act of conceiving children is a sin. We get some strange and funny notions. I guess it comes from tradition or word of mouth, old wives' tales and fables that have passed down through the years. They get the idea that the sin of Adam and Eve was something to do with sex. That's not so, not a word of truth in it. God created male and female in the perfect garden, both without sin. Both were naked and both were gloriously arrayed in holiness, and God gave them instructions to multiply and replenish the earth. In other words, there was to be a relationship between a man and a woman. And for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And the same thing true of the wife. And they were to bring forth children. The sin in the Garden of Eden wasn't a sexual sin. It was a sin of spirit, attitude, the heart. Man turned from God. He turned to his own way. And that's when he corrupted and contaminated everything. Sex hasn't ruined men. Men ruined sex. Alcohol hasn't ruined men. Men ruined alcohol. Drugs haven't ruined this generation. This generation ruined drugs. There's a profitable use for drugs and herbs and other things that God's made. But our sin is a heart sin. It's rebellion. And this is the thing about when Adam and Eve brought forth a child, and when they fell and were died in sin, the only kind of son Adam could have was a son like Cain, who had hate in his heart, who had evil in his heart. And unfortunately, that's the only kind of son you can bring forth. Born in sin. And when David said, in sin my mother conceived me, he didn't have any reference whatsoever to the fact his mother or father sinned by bringing forth children or by having a relationship that brought forth children. He was saying that the seed that was put in his mother's womb was a sinful seed. He was conceived, shapen, formed in iniquity, and brought forth speaking lies. He was a sinner from birth, the nature. So we communicate character to our children. You see what I'm saying? Character. And that character is all bad. All bad. But when God, now watch this, when God begets a child, look down here at verse 18, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. It may shock you a little bit here, but that's all right. We need to be shocked. My fleshly nature can do no good. There's no good in it. My spiritual nature can do no evil. There's no evil in it. It's divine and holy as God Himself. That which is born of God has no sin. I don't have a sinful spiritual nature. The righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, the life of Christ that's begotten in a child of God is as perfect and holy as God. Turn to the book of Galatians. Let me show you something here. Galatians. Chapter 5. We turn to Galatians chapter 5. And let's look here at verse 16. Galatians 5:16. Now I know there are those who will make war on what I'm preaching right now, but what I'm preaching, you take the word. It's the scripture. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now there's a scripture over here, whosoever born of God does not commit sin, does not practice. The word there is practice sin. Whosoever is born of God. But that which is born of God, in the life of God, the nature of God, can't have any sin in it. It came from God. And all I've got, when I die, I lay aside this human flesh. And I go to be with Christ. And I take that nature that's perfect love, perfect faith, perfect holiness, perfect godliness into the presence of our Lord. And the flesh goes back to the earth from whence it came. There's no purity in it. It all dies. I don't take some of my divine nature to heaven and some of my human nature. All that's human dies and rots. That which is flesh, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. And the flesh goes, the body goes back to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit to God who gave it. Holy spiritual. Now look at Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is written to believers. They've still got a fleshly nature. They've still got a human nature. We're still human. We're still flesh. We're still people. But if you walk in the spirit, if you cultivate the spiritual man, if you feed the spiritual man, if you live in the spirit, if you encourage the spiritual man, if you take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you as a spiritual man, if you'll read the word and pray and seek his face, then these things of the flesh will not gain the upper hand. For he said, verse 17, the flesh, that is that old nature, that old man, lusteth, warreth against the spirit. It hates the spiritual man. And the spirit warreth against the flesh. It's declared war on the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. What's he talking about? Something going on out yonder in Israel, or something going on out yonder in heaven or hell? No, something going on right in here. That's what he's talking about. Something going on right in here. They're contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things you would. What would you do? Now what would you do? Well, I'll tell you, that spiritual man, that man that God's made, that man that God created, that new nature, that man that was created in the new birth, that woman, you know what that nature would do? It would do perfect. It would never think an evil thought or say an evil word or do an evil thing. It would be like Christ. It's that nature that craves, oh, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, to die, which is gain. Oh, to live eternally in the presence of God. Oh, never to sin again. Wouldn't you do that? Now, you would, wouldn't you? What does that man that's born of your daddy want to do? Or that woman born of your daddy want to do? It gets mad, loses its temper, selfish, and wants comfort and luxury and pampering and sin. And so you who would do perfect, you can't do that because you've got this nature, this human nature that discourages you and defeats you. And you who would want to sin, you can't do that either because you got this holy nature that says that ain't right. And you don't want to do that. You may want to, but you don't want to. You may think you'd like to, but you wouldn't like to. It wouldn't bring God any glory and do you any good. That's what that new nature says to you. And that's what that scripture's saying. Now, I'll turn back to 1 John 5. There's a character communicated. In the fleshly birth, there's a character communicated. That character is a lying character. It's a lustful character. It's a loose character. It's a fleshly character. And that character that's communicated in that new birth, it's a holy character. It's a godly character. It's a perfect character. Because God gave it. All right, the fifth thing quickly. These births are alike in that when a person's born, both the first time and the second time, a life is brought forth that's complete in all its parts. What am I saying? In the hospital, when a baby's born, that's what it's going to be. It'll never grow another finger. If it's got four, it'll live with four. If it's got one, it'll live with one. If it's got one ear, that's all it'll ever have. It'll never grow another one.
Do you know that? That's so. But most babies, by God's grace, are born fully equipped. We can give thanks for that. And now then, but that baby will mature. That baby's little brain, it can't even see, can't think, can't hear, can't do anything. But the potential's there, the possibility's there, the faculties are there. But you got to feed him, feed him, feed him. And he grows. Pretty soon he gets to where he can see his fist. And he's real taken up with it, you know. He's real taken up with both of them. He discovers he's got two. That's when he becomes real intelligent. He finds out he's got two fists. Then he finds out he's got a thumb. And then he discovers you. And then he discovers the room. And then he discovers that he lives in a town. And there's four or five other people in that town. And then he discovers one day when he's about 80 that he lives in a world. And there's a whole lot of people. And there's a God. And that's the way this spiritual life is. I'm born. When God saves me, I'm born with every grace I'll ever have. Every fruit of the Spirit. I'm born with love. Not much of it, but some. It's there. The degree, the faculties of faith, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Every child of God is born a complete, sufficient, meek to inherit the kingdom of glory. But like that little baby in that cradle, he can't see nothing but himself. And selfish, they're selfish Christians. He's surrounded by his own. He discovers himself. You see, we got to grow. We need, and how do we grow? We grow by the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, that your love might develop and mature, that you'll be able to see beyond right here on out there. Clear to Mexico, Charlie. Clear to Spain and France. Clear to heaven. I can see the sun. I see the sun. I can hear his voice. So in the new birth, it's all there. So there's a remarkable likeness between these two births. And my friend, you do well. Let me tell you this. If there's anybody here that's just got little religion, just enough to make you miserable, you do well to consider the reality of the new birth. Just as surely as the first birth is a reality. You would not be here if you had not been born. And I'll tell you this, you'll not be in glory unless you're born again. And you would not be able to hear or to see or to think to whatever degree you hear, see, and think if you had not been born. And you'll not be able to hear his voice or see his face or think on his on things above unless you're born again. That's so. It's real. It's absolutely real. The enjoyments of this world. I drink this glass of water. And somebody told me when you're up there drinking water and it's hot in this auditorium, you make everybody thirsty. I wish I could make everybody thirsty for this word right here. I wish I could. Because that's real too. This is real, but this is too. Do you look upon the new birth as sort of a cliche? Well, it's not. It's a reality. Do you look upon the new birth as sort of a fancy or fiction or something religious people talk about? Was your first birth a fancy or fiction? No, it was real, wasn't it? Well, that second one is too. That second one is real. Now, what about the difference? Well, I'll give it to you in just a few minutes. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a difference. There are ways in which these two births are not alike. The first one is this. In 1 Peter 1 verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. When the first child, and the word here
quite frankly, is semen, not of corruptible semen, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The child born the first time to you was born of corruptible seed, and therefore a corruptible person. But children of God are born of incorruptible seed. Totally the opposite. And the seed is the word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is the word. It's a mystery. I can't explain it, but I do know this. That which causes life to begin in the mother is a seed from man. And that which causes life to begin in the sinner is seed from God, which is this word, as the Holy Spirit makes it live and gives it life. That's so, the word of God. So that's how they're opposite. All right, secondly, turn to Job 3. Job chapter 3. In this way, they're opposite too. A man may live to curse the day he was born. And parents may live to curse the day that they had a son or daughter. Job chapter 3, look at it, verse 1. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish when I was born. And the night in which it was said, there's a man, child conceived. Cursed be the day I was born. There'll come a day when men will curse the day they were born. But I'll tell you, not so in the new birth. That time grows sweeter with every passing day. I'm so glad the Lord Jesus gave me life. I'm so glad I praise his name. I thank God he made me live spiritually. He gave me a life that I enjoy, in which I rejoice. Parents may curse the day that they brought forth a certain child, but not the Heavenly Father. His children will all bring him glory. He's proud of them all. He's grateful for them all. And then Hebrews 9. Watch this now. And you know this already. And some of you thought about this when I gave the... said I was going to talk about the difference. Hebrews 9:27. This life born in the flesh is going to die. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 27... it's appointed unto men once to die. He that's born of woman shall die. He that's born of God shall never die. Christ said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. My old nature, my fleshly nature is dying. My spiritual nature is living. It's living. It'll never die. Never die. Why shall it never die? Well, here's the reason. First of all, its nature is born of God. Dying men produce dying men. The living God produces living sons. It'll never die because of its union with Christ. Christ said, because I live, you live. When he dies, I die. Until he dies, I live eternally. From the pledge of God, my Lord said, my sheep shall never perish. And because the Holy Spirit perpetually supplies them with life. All right, one other scripture, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. How are they different? How are they different? Well, the glory of that first birth. And there's some glory. There's some glory. The glory of the flesh is physical strength. We got some beautiful babies here. They're beautiful. But one day they won't be. That's right. One day there'll be a mass of rotten, putrid, decaying. Roll the stone back, he stinketh. That's right. We've got some beautiful ladies here. Beautiful. But one day they won't be. They'll be ugly and ugly. That's right. We've got some men here that are intelligent. And one day, if they live long enough, this is so, Cecil, this is so, they're going to be foolish. Somebody will have to wait on them. And somebody will have to sign their
checks for them. Some have to take care of their bills. Can you imagine yourself like that? Somebody had to write your letters for you and sign your checks. You don't have enough intelligence to put things together. That's right. We got some folks here that are known all over this part of the country. Famous. Some known all over the United States. There'll come a day when they won't remember your name. That's right now. I'm telling you the truth. Because it says here in 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. It falleth away. It's going to perish. All the glory of man. What is the glory of man? Strength, beauty, wisdom, intelligence, recognition, fame, popularity. It's just like a flower. Darcy's roses are all gone. Boy, a month ago they were pretty. Look like they're going to live forever. But they're gone. And one day you'll all be gone. But I'm telling you this, that life of Christ will live eternally. That which is corruptible shall put on incorruption, and that which is mortal shall put on immortality, and that which is flesh shall one day be just like Christ. Oh, I tell you, there's a difference, isn't there? The life of God. The hymn writer put it this way, Lord, what a feeble piece is my mortal frame. My life, how poor a trifle it is, it scarcely deserves the name, life. Ah, the brittle clay that built my body first. Every month and every day it's moldering back to dust. My moments fly apace, nor will my minutes stay. Just like a flood, my hasty days are sweeping me away. Lord, teach me how frail is man, till I thy face shall see. Anoint me with grace through my earthly span. Fit me to live, fit me to die, fit me to dwell with thee. May I be born again. It's real. Just real as that first birth. And it's similar in many ways. But it's so different. Because all my children shall die. All up. I may bury them all before I leave here. But my Lord never buries his. They live eternally. They live eternally. Huh? And all the glory of this, for keep on. Just give all you've got to attain all you can get. And someday every one of us will watch it. Wood, hay, and stubble, we'll watch it burn. Burn. And perish. But we'll watch the gold and silver and precious stone of the life of Christ grow stronger and more beautiful, shine with a greater luster, give myself to the things of Christ. Our Father, we praise Thee for Thy Word. Every promise in this book is divine and blessed. You've spoken to us today through Thy Word. You've taught us. We praise Thee. Lord, teach our friends and teach our loved ones. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. My days on this earth may be so brief. How brief, I don't know. Lord, you know. It's appointed unto men once to die. Man's days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast set his bounds. He cannot pass. But let this day and tomorrow and the days you've given me and all my tomorrows be lived in dedication and consecration in that spiritual life which you've given. Create a thirst in the hearts of men and women here to know thee, to walk with thee. O Lord, do that work of grace that only you can perform. Give that life to our friends. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.